Last week, Baptist Distinctives. If you did not get that paper, Dan has some extras for you. So this is the same one you had last week. There were extra blanks at the end, and Dan has that. So if you need that, raise your hand, and Dan will be glad to pass those out and around to you. As we're discussing Baptist Distinctives, we're reminded of the acrostic, Baptists, and the definitions or the words that that stands for. Biblical authority, we're kind of in our introduction stage yet, but biblical authority is the letter B. The letter A, does anybody remember? Autonomy of the local church, and we'll talk more about that. P is the what? Priesthood of believers, that we have direct access to who? God. We don't have to go through some priest. Even as the Old Testament, man, what a blessing. Priesthood of the believers. Two ordinances of the local church is that verse T. Two ordinances of the local church. What are those ordinances? Baptism and the Lord's Supper. And as we talk through those are ordinances, not sacraments. And when we deal with that, we'll determine and we'll see what is the difference and why do we call them ordinances. The I stands for, does anybody remember? Individual soul liberty. Some of you have your sheets yet. If we need more of those, I can print those off and I'll try to have some more for next week. We've got an overview sheet. Individual soul liberty. That I'm not here to tell you how to live your life, am I? As your pastor, is it my role to tell you how to live your life? Okay, a little louder, please. Is it my responsibility to teach you really what God expects, though? But it is up to you to live before God. I'm not going to come to your home and dictate to you how to live. That's not biblical. And so we've got individual soul liberty. Every believer has the liberty to choose what his or her conscience or soul dictates is right and is therefore responsible to God alone for his or her choice. Now again, individual soul liberty, that's not erased when we set standards up for church or ministry at church or, hey, if you're going to serve in this area, this is what we're going to ask. That's not usurping individual soul liberty. That's just as an organization saying, hey, this is what we need to do just to help us. When you go to McDonald's and get food, aren't you thankful there's a dress code? That they can't just come in their dirty, greasy jeans that they've been working on doing oil changes in all day? Yeah, or their pajamas, the flannel pajamas, right? They're making french fries with their flannel pajamas on. And aren't you thankful for those things? So there are standards as institutions, but yet McDonald's doesn't say you've got to wear a uniform when you go home and when you go shopping. And again, there's that individual soul liberty aspect. And then the first S reminds us of what? Save church membership. If you're going to join the church, you must be what? Saved. That's an important aspect of life. You must be saved. And then T stands for two offices. Again, we've talked about that. We have a few different roles or even positions that we vote on as a church family. We've got the of course, pastor. That's not every year. I'm thankful for that. But we've got the office of the pastor. And then a second biblical office is the deacons. We vote on, we're in a rotation where we vote on at least one every year. But then we've got a couple other offices that aren't biblical offices, but they're just roles to help in some of the other administration aspects that we've got. But two specific offices of the local church. And then the last S is what? Separation. Not that we can't have unity with each other, but there's the point of personal separation. I need to stay away from that which is ungodly. There's the point of ecclesiastical. Ecclesiastical is a big word. Any teenagers remember what ecclesiastical means? Or what it has to do with? Has to do with the what? The what? I heard it somewhere. The church. Okay, ecclesiastical separation. Why we can't just do everything with every church in our area and let's just get together and do it all. We'll talk about that. And then, of course, some political separation. So we'll get into all of that. Last week we talked about just common beliefs. We started getting into the denomination section. By the way, if you miss some blanks, in the back foyer on the table, there are two answer sheets that have the blanks filled out. So you can go there and look at that. How many of you missed at least one blank last week? That was every one of you who were taking notes, okay? Because I didn't say it. Only one of you came to find out the answer for it. So anyway, I wanted to give you an opportunity. It is in the back foyer. I guess, theoretically, you could copy ahead if I don't finish off the lesson today, too. And that would only help you study better, right? The goal of this is, yes, an open book test because you know the information, right? And I just want you guys to understand why we are a what kind of church? Baptist church. And just the importance of that. So anyway, briefly, Baptists are not a what? Denomination. We talked about that. Baptists are not a denomination because as we defined the denomination, it's a religious group having a hierarchy or what? Central headship, which has authority over its local churches and just the responsibilities that each organization would have. What did we say were some denominations that have a hierarchy or a central headship? Whether it's they send a pastor here and then say, nope, your time is done there and you go here, or they vote on, this is what our church doctrine is. This is what we as a church institution will believe. What are some of those denominations? Okay, so we've got the Catholic idea of a denomination. Methodist, Presbyterian. I mean, there are lots of different ones that we think of. As we talked last week, are we a non-denominational church? In one sense, because we don't have that central hierarchy over us, except for, Baptist is a label. Denomination labels declare the characteristics of the church or of the group. We aren't, again, part of a denomination, but when we think of a label, when we say Catholic or Methodist or Presbyterian, it might jog different thoughts in your mind. And maybe you say, I don't know what they believe. Well, the priority is that you know what? What we believe. And many times I think we go through life and just, well, yeah, I'm a Baptist because I've always been one. Yeah, I'm a Baptist because that's the church I go to. Yeah, we want to know what we believe and again, why we believe it and seeing some of the reality. The denomination labels declare the characteristics. So how about a prank on newlyweds? Okay, think about that. Maybe a food shower. They've called them different things in the past. When you fill up their house, their new apartment or whatever, with all sorts of canned goods and food just to be a help and a blessing. What if the wedding party snuck in there and removed all the labels for the cans and they put them in their cupboard? So when the new bride goes to prepare all the food for dinner, she says, okay, we're going to have this. I don't know what it is. It could be corn, creamed corn, green beans. It could be cranberry sauce, or it could be dog food, because dog food comes in cans. I mean, we don't know. Aren't you thankful for labels? Again, there's a reason we have labels. We drove by a church the other day somewhere. It was the name of some name on it. It said Fellowship and Church. Well, that didn't describe anything for us of what it was. Church today means almost nothing in America. Church can be technically a church is an assembly of people called together. When we think of the local church in the New Testament, we've got some more descriptions. But labels are helpful for us. They're important so we know what's inside. Aren't you thankful, again, that we can know? So many different people have so many different ideas about churches that they go to. Denominations help to understand that. Money denominations tell us the value of the bill. I mean, man, would you rather have a $50 denomination or a $5 denomination on your bill and your wallet, right? I'll take five fifties as opposed to five fives. I mean, that'd be okay by me. And there's labels. And so it is helpful to see some of those different things. But again, we don't want to necessarily be non-denominational. Your next blank. To be non-denominational is risky. If we stand for nothing, we will stand for anything. If we stand for nothing, we'll stand for anything. And so there is a reason as a church that we do set some standards, whether it's for ministry and, okay, if you're going to serve here, this is what we ask. Or this is what we believe. Salvation is only possible through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and me putting my faith and trust in Him. It's not gained by crawling up steps on my knees. It's not gained by giving more money. By the way, we don't send you a letter at the end of the year. You didn't send your tithe because we know what you make. There are some churches who do that. But that's no way to get to heaven. Again, there's the reality of we stand for something. So in the one sense, we are a non-denominational church, but we have a label. Okay? And we don't necessarily want to be called non-denominational, because what does non-denominational today mean? Just whatever goes. You might be Episcopalian and we want you to come to our Presbyterian church. You might, well, I mean, so many different things. And so who cares? It's just, it's about worship God. Well, who is God? Again, we've got to know through the Word of God who God really is. And so here's just a statement. I'm going to read this. We may reveal some false doctrines held by denominations or non-denominational churches. Not intended to be critical. Again, our desire is not to be critical or mean or harsh to other churches in our area. We don't want to be self-righteous. Hey, look at us. We're pretty good because this is what we believe. We don't want to be holier than thou. Some people do think that of Baptists. Man, yeah, that's that group that everybody's holier than anybody else. That's that group who's so narrow-minded they think only their members are going to heaven. Well, I don't believe all people who call themselves Baptists are going to heaven. It goes back to, it's got to be, ye must be born again, Jesus Christ said. So it doesn't matter what church you go to of guaranteeing you a home in heaven, because that's not going to guarantee you a home in heaven. But again, we have labels to help us to tell the truth. We will use denominations as examples throughout our study. Catholics, Lutherans, not to be disrespectful, not to be cruel, not to ridicule them, really to love, but to show what we believe and why we are different. Teens, the day and age will come when you move out of your home and you will have to choose for yourself, where am I going to church? I don't need that. I don't need Baptist. Why do we need that? Man, that church, it makes me feel good. But again, we don't go to church based on feelings. We'll talk more about that this afternoon with our next month's memory verse. We don't love based upon feelings, but based upon truth. Many non-Baptists love God just as much as we do. Are there people who don't claim the Baptist label that are saved? Yes or no? A little louder, please. Yes. I want you to know that, teens. Don't ever believe, well, Pastor Josh says only. No, it's not just Baptists that can be saved. There are people who are saved. There are some even within the Catholic Church that are saved. I think few and far between. I don't see how you can be saved and study the Bible and really remain in a church like that. There are people in other denominations who are saved. It all goes back to what? Your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So we do respect these people, but we must compare their beliefs to what? Remember, what does B stand for? Biblical authority. God's word is my authority. Was it last Sunday evening, kids? Remember last Sunday evening, the picture we had on the screen as we had our kids' time up front? Maybe you adults remember it too. I think there was an army man, a military group, and the guy had authority and he was telling them what to do. And man, the only authority that we have is the Word of God. We've got to go back to what the Bible says. So, your next blank, their denomination labels clarify a set of beliefs. They clarify. What does clarify mean? One of you teenagers, that's a big word. What does clarify mean? Alexi, I'm looking right at you. To make it what? Clear, to make it clear. And so, man, we want things to be clear. How many of you are thankful for your glasses? Right? Man, they make things what? Clear. Denomination labels do clarify a set of beliefs. And that's why we as Baptists want to know, what do we believe? Why are we where we are? Think about lists. Are you a list maker? Do you make a grocery list? How many of you are thankful for grocery lists? How many of you men love going grocery shopping without a list because you get the Oreos and you get, right? I mean, man, that is exciting. I mean, who needs a shopping list? Man, that looks good. And man, I might open that right now to make sure it's good. I might buy three packages of that or, you know, I mean, man, who needs a, but the reality is there are lists and the importance of lists, tasks lists, to-do lists, so many other different things. Why? Because these lists help us define what we need to do. They help us to define our thoughts. in one sense, I don't write in list order my sermon notes, but do I have a set of notes in front of me when I go to preach? Why, Matthew? So I can keep on track, yeah. And so you can keep on track in knowing where I'm going so that I know that my thoughts will flow clearly. Now, do my thoughts always still flow clearly when I've got notes? Yes, I want that answer, right? I mean, because we know that just because we have a list or a group of lists doesn't always keep it clear. But the goal with that is to help us. So there are people who claim the Baptist label that, whoa, that's not what Baptists believe. So just because there's Baptist on a church name doesn't mean, hey, I might as well go join that church. We've got to, again, understand. So one, I encourage you, teens or adults, as you move away and you determine where God has you to go to church someday, before you ever join a church, what is something you should do? Well, I heard something, what? Okay, check it out. How, Joanne? What's one of the things you want to check out? That's it. So what are their beliefs? So we've got the Constitution that shares some of the order of how the church is run, and then bylaws or the doctrinal statement and seeing these things. What do they believe? Do they really believe that salvation is only through Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus Christ? Do they truly believe that everyone is a sinner? Some of these things seem basic, but you want to be careful that you understand what they believe. You want to understand what they believe in so many different areas. So labels just help to clarify key beliefs that make us different from others. Denominational labels define what people believe and how they live. Really, again, the way where we go to church should make a difference, not just on what days? Sunday and Wednesday. But it should make a difference on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Not because I'm a Baptist, so I can't do that. I'm a Baptist, so I better live this way. No, but because we hold to the idea the Bible has all authority in my life. And so that does define the way I live. So, Baptists live differently than Catholics. And there are some things that we just don't agree on. What's one of them coming up soon? Lent. I don't practice Lent. Now, when I take my clothes out of the dryer, I remove the lint. But I don't practice Lent as Catholics do. Now, I work for McDonald's. What do you think we sold tons of on Fridays? Oh, man, that was our double fish fillet specials and everything. I mean, we sold tons of fish. How about Fat Tuesday, just before that? I mean, maybe you eat your punschki or whatever you want to call it that day that you enjoy, and all your fat-filled donuts and those fun things. But it's not so we can sin one more time before the fast. That's kind of really what the whole idea is. We'll sin one more time with this before we have to fast it away. Ash Wednesday, again, a day of fasting, beginning of Lent. Again, we don't observe Lent. How about baptizing babies? Do we do that? No. And we can have, if you will, a baby dedication service, but that doesn't make the baby saved. Really, a baby dedication service is strictly to dedicate the parents to raise this child for the Lord and dedicate this baby. God, we want this baby to live for you. But that baby still has to get what when they grow up? Saved. So there are some key things we disagree in. We don't pray for deceased people hoping to release them from purgatory. There is no such thing as purgatory when you look at the Bible. Separation, well, again, I don't believe it's okay to gamble away my paycheck in Las Vegas. Well, that's just one paycheck. Or that it's okay to just go cash my paycheck at the local bar and drink till 8 p.m., don't stay after 8. I mean, just some things that some denominations say, hey, it's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. Well, wait a second. What does the Bible say? The Bible affects the way we live. Again, don't go to school, kids, and say, well, I can't do that because pastor said so. Please don't ever say that pastor said don't do that. I want you, if you're convinced in your mind you can't do something, not because of me, but because of what? The Word of God. And we'll really dig more into biblical authority. Ecumenical means non-denominational, universal, all-embracing, or unity. Now, we know that unity is a biblical thing. I think of two young ladies, or maybe older ladies, in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the book of Philippians. And they were told to have unity, be of one mind in the Lord. But what was that one mind in? The Lord. It's not just let the walls come down. Man, there's some songs, let the walls come down, let the walls come down, that have divided us. Well, wait a second. There are certain things that do divide us. Biblical authority. We must live life according to biblical authority. Many denominations are attempting to blend in with other denominations. Well, that one voted on this a couple years ago. You know, we really should consider that. We really, as a denomination, should consider allowing homosexuals to be pastors or lead in that role. Are there many denominations who are dealing with that over the last couple years and continuing to do so? Yeah. Well, everybody else does it, so we... No, wait a second. What do we do, teens? We go back to what? The Bible. That's got to be all of life. Ecumenicalism is joining hands no matter what our belief systems are. And we can't do that because we believe the Bible. A number of Sunday nights ago, we sang, some of you may remember, we worked through it a few weeks, I believe the Bible, I believe the Bible, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I mean, we learn about different things that God's Word teaches us. Ecumenical often is to achieve common goals, just to reduce hunger in Africa, to dig water wells in Africa, to build homeless shelters. Maybe you have heard the word Chrislam. Anybody heard that word? Chrislam? It was coined by Pastor Rick Warren. Again, not to be mean or ugly about it, but he coined that word, which is Christianity plus what? Is that biblical? Well, we all go back to the same father figure in the Old Testament of Abraham. I don't care. The foundation goes back to what is the Bible say. And so again, someone might be saved, but teach some far off things. Does that mean I can be part of them? No. So we want to be so careful. And that's why, as pastor, I'm so cautious of who we bring in as missionaries or who we bring in for our special meetings. Because we can't just hold hands with everybody. We are what? Baptist. And that causes distinctive differences. The Bible is divisive. People say, oh, get rid of doctrine because it's divisive. But the Bible, your next blank says, is divisive. So most Bible doctrine must be set aside for non-denominational unity to succeed. The Bible is divisive. How is it divisive? It's very distinct. Christ is very clear. Remember what we said? Denomination labels what? Clarify? Well, Bible doctrine is very clear. Christ is very clear of how we should live or what kind of certain things should be in the local church. We're studying what book? Well, we'll get more into it now. It's been a couple months, but 1 Corinthians and Sunday mornings. And man, that was a local church that had a lot of problems. And there were some specific things they needed to do. Doctrine makes a difference in our lives. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, anybody know that? John 14:6, anybody want to quote it? I am, Michelle? Is that divisive? Yes or no?
Yes.
It is. Because Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way. He's very clear and distinct on that. He's not just another road that leads to heaven. Because the Bible says narrow is the road. Right? Narrow is the way, the gate. And man, few there be that find it. So Baptists are sometimes viewed as what? Narrow. You're so narrow-minded. Teens, it's okay to be called that sometimes. Not when it's based on your own mind. Yeah, that's just the way I think. You've all met someone like that and you're just like, man, I don't want to be around that person. Because Jesus said, yes, we need to be narrow-minded, but they'll know us by our what? Love one toward another. So even as much as we have to stand for doctrine, we must do it with what? Love. With love. And so again, it's not our way or the highway. This is what God's Word teaches. This is what we're going to believe. Pastor.
I was at a community gathering some years back.
Spain and posted, amen. A Methodist preacher came up to me afterward, and he said, I was kind of surprised that you prayed in Jesus' name. And he said, when I pray publicly, I just prayed. I just posted him, amen. And I said, well, if you don't pray in the name of Jesus, what's it give you the authority to talk to God anyway?
Yeah.
Reminded, he goes, he just kind of looked at me, and a year later I was at that function and they asked him to pray, he prayed in Jesus' name.
Wow.
You know, sometimes people just need to see the truth, they need to see clarity.
Yeah. Yeah, again, we must stand for what the Word of God teaches. And kids, teens, if I say kids, don't take offense by that. If you're younger than me, you're a kid, okay? I don't mean it bad. But teens, it can be hard to stand alone when you're at school, can't it? Teens, raise your hand. Is it ever hard to stand alone? Okay, five of you said yes. Adults, is it ever hard to stand alone yet as adults? Okay, look at that, teens. It's tough. But we can still do it with God's strength and power. And we can let God's word make that difference. Denominations disagree on how to get to heaven. On praying to Mother Mary. On the priest praying to God on my behalf. Can I pray for you? As your pastor, should I pray for you? But can you pray for yourself too? Man, isn't that exciting? Again, priesthood of the believers. Can baptism save you? So many different beliefs by denominations. Unity is destroyed if we talk about these doctrinal issues with other denominations. Again, there's reasons why, even on some of these nice social issues, we can't just, as a church, join hands with everybody. Well, it's only in this area. Well, again, if we don't stand for anything, it does roll over into effect everything of who we are and what we believe. And so we just want to be cautious and careful of that. Baptist as a name. Some of you remember it 40, 50 years ago. Some of you are like, what is 40, 50 years ago? Right, Spencer? You don't know anything about 40, 50 years ago unless it's in history book. Man, the reality, and some of you are like, yeah, man, that seemed like yesterday. And the reality is, does Baptist mean the same thing that it used to mean? In some ways, but I think in many ways it's even just kind of, what is the law of physics that tells us that everything just continues to expand and move out? We think of that with the universe and some of the other things as it's spinning and it's not drawing closer together. It's still that separation. And we see that with doctrinal beliefs. We see that with these churches. It's just, whoa, what's going on? There are some who are still tight and hold to what the Bible teaches. One of the labels that we are often called is fundamentalists. Anybody ever heard that term before? I'm a fundamentalist. Now, how many of you have heard that in the news in the last couple of years? A fundamentalist. And now that doesn't, they generally don't talk about Baptists when they talk about that, do they? They often talk about Islam and Muslims and the fundamentalists. What is a fundamentalist? Someone who goes back to the basics. Okay? Spencer, when you're working on sports stuff, does your coach at the beginning of the year just, and maybe even sometimes at the beginning of practice, just have you go back to the basics and work on that? If you can't shoot a basket, who cares if you can dribble it, right? You got to do some of the basics. And yet, if you can't dribble it, who cares if you can just shoot? You got to be able to do both in the basics. As a fundamentalist, we simply go back to what the Bible teaches. And we want to always go back to that. We saw in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, which, yes, was before my time too, but we did see that many Baptist churches were very similar. In practice even. And music styles and standards and so many different things. Man, I look back at our church in Muskegon because that's the one that I, as growing up and whatnot, had the most influence on my life. That church was planted by another church in Muskegon back in the 50s, I believe it was. That church that planted Faith Baptist Church, where I came out of, is nothing like what Faith Baptist Church is today. Today, they are no longer a Baptist church. And so many ways, distinct ways that they live, standards of how we're going to worship God with this music and what we're going to do in this situation. I mean, so many different things has changed. So again, Baptist can take on many different meanings, and it may not be that similar. Today, some Baptist churches have leaned too far to the what? Left, we would call that. Just too far to the left. As close to the fence as possible. You ever gone to the Grand Canyon or some high cliff and there's a fence right there? Man, I remember going to some of those and, man, there's the fence. I remember as a teenager watching people crawl over the fence to get the picture taken. Now, as a teen guy, sometimes that appealed to me, like, that's kind of cool. And yet the other aspect, that's pretty what? Crazy, stupid, foolish, whatever you want to call it, it sure is foolish. Because they're getting too close to the fence and trying to get over the fence and yet still be what they were. And sadly, many of them, after 5 seconds, were no longer what they were. Because they've fallen down and they died. And in a similar way, if we go too far to the left as a church family, it does change who we are. And it does cause dangerous situations. We may have a label, but that doesn't mean that I'm according to that label. I can say I'm kind all day long, but who's going to determine if I'm kind? You guys or, well, I say I'm kind. People know whether I'm kind. I don't get to define all the definitions, do I? I might claim a definition or a label, but I don't get to define it. So we want to be cautious and careful of how far to the left we move. Contemporary music culture. Sometimes it's called CCM, the genre of music. And we won't dig into it too far, but the emphasis on the 2 and the 4 beat, not on the 1 and the 3 of the traditional music, if we call it that, throughout the ages. Emphasis more on the rhythm than on the melody. Music becomes predominant. The pulpit is secondary. We've got to make sure our trap set is up here with the glass enclosure. Now, I don't know if that's so the drummer doesn't get shot or what it is. But you know, we've got to have our music primary. Now, music is huge and very important. In fact, I've already shared with you, I've got some burdens and desires to even continue to grow our music ministry as a church family. So if you play an instrument, make sure you come see me. We're praying about an orchestra on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings. And anyway, these things are exciting. But what has to be primary? The Word of God. Not how our worship makes you feel. Oh, I don't feel good when we sing that song. It doesn't really matter because it's not about you. It's all about I'm singing to God. And so too far to the left, people leaned hard on their music and it changed so many things in the church. Too far to the left, embracing contemplative worship, and we could dig more into that, counterfeit worship, meditation. Emptying your mind. Wait a second, that doesn't sound like a biblical practice, does it? When we talk about meditation in the Bible, it's filling our mind, isn't it? With what? The Word of God. That's what changes life. Not just repeating prayers over and over, and there are churches who do this. Even what we would call evangelical churches today, but think of Catholicism with the rosary. It's not just doing these things. Unity eroded by the pastor using multiple versions of the Bible. I preach from which translation? King James. Am I ugly about it? I hope not. I never try to be. I don't want to be. But I use the King James translation, the King James version, authorized version for a reason. But as a church family, as our pew Bible and as our Sunday school teachers and others, we use one to help bring some unity and clarity of mind. This is, again, together what we believe. When we're memorizing scripture, and we'll introduce this afternoon a new verse, it might not be out of this translation because I like the way that one sounds or that one. Again, we've got some churches, I believe, lean too far to the left when it comes to Bible translation. Everything goes. There are 1.5 million English translations of the Bible today. Not quite literally, but almost. There's so many. Man, I remember studying and learning of the Rap Bible. Like, what is wrong? And it was crazy reading the Ten Commandments in that. Like you ain't going to diss Jesus or I don't know. It was unreal. And is that the Word of God? No. Again, there's a reason we're going to stick with the Bible we have. Some lean too far to the left. Embracing Reformed theology. Some of you might not completely understand what all of this means. But we're not going to embrace Reformed theology. There are Reformed Baptist churches. And their label has to be Reformed Baptist churches because historically, Baptists haven't been Reformed. But again, we aren't going to embrace the Reformed theology. God plans to not just save one group, but he is able and capable and wants to save how many? Jimmy, you're saying, I saw it there, all. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So today, some Baptist churches have leaned too far to the left, and the next blank there is to the right, and it looks like our time is over, so we will get more to that next week. But I'm burdened that we as a church family know where we stand on the Bible, not because, well, that's what pastor believes, so no. If I don't believe what the Bible teaches, would you come show me where I'm wrong? Because I want to honor God and the Word of God. Let's let him change us. Jeff, would you close us in prayer?